Vince, thank you so much for joining us today on Galesburg Live.
Absolutely, Chris. Glad to be here.
So let's jump right into it. COVID-19 hits. Churches all over the country, around the world, had to change pretty quickly.
Yeah, it felt like we changed almost overnight. You know, we had done some flirting with online worship. You know,
right.
Basically, we were filming sermons and then sometime during the week dropping them onto Facebook Live. And and that was basically all we were doing in terms of online worship. And all of a sudden, almost overnight, we couldn't be in our buildings. We couldn't worship like we were used to doing. We couldn't do, you know, most of the things that we took for granted back before all of this happened. And so we had to figure out pretty quickly how we continue to worship. How we continue to do a lot of things in the church world, but obviously worship is one of our primary things. It's time when our community gets together week in and week out. And so that was obviously our first concern. And so we had to pretty quickly learn what that looked like.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we leaned pretty heavily on some of our younger staff members, some of our teenagers, quite frankly, to kind of help guide us a little bit on what that looks like.
Yeah.
Fortunately, we had the basics in terms of a decent camera and you know, wireless internet through our building. But we did have to buy some technological pieces. We had to upgrade some of our internet connections and some of those kind of things. And, you know, what we found was that while it was a huge adjustment for all of us, most of our people who were already part of our church, part of our worshiping community, made that jump with us. And we've actually picked up people who we never knew before we started offering online worship.
So people that were not coming to the church in physically suddenly found it more convenient to join you online.
That's right.
Yeah, wonderful.
You don't have to get in the car. You don't have to put on your Sunday best. You know, you don't even have to put pants on if you don't want to, I guess.
Right.
And so there are a number of people who, you know, it's a little harder to track who's there when you don't actually see a physical face.
Yeah.
But we have had a number of people who we've started up conversations with because they've reached out to us and said, I didn't go to church before. And, you know, I have a friend who goes to your church or shared a link or something. Mm-hmm. And so we have picked up some people. And I've just been amazed by how our pre-existing congregation stuck with us.
Yeah.
You know, we have people in their 90s who log on to YouTube every week and worship with us.
That's right.
And so while we had to figure that out pretty quickly, people did make the leap with us in terms of worship, and that's gone pretty well.
So on the worship side, that's one thing to video your sermons and the service. What about your classes and those kind of ministries?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, we've done a little bit in our church of Zoom Bible studies.
Yeah.
That those have gone okay. That seems to be a little less successful than the worship, which tends to be a little bit more presentational in some settings.
Sure.
You know, when you're trying to, you know, have a conversation about something and people keep talking over each other with Zoom. Our experience has been that hasn't been the best thing. Our children and youth ministries have also really been struggling with going to a virtual setting, partially because the kids are spending, you know, 5, 6, 7 hours a day in front of their computer screens or their tablets or whatever doing school. And so even though they're on their phones all the time, it seems like, we are seeing that a lot of our young people have screen fatigue. And so to get them to come back on a Wednesday night and do, you know, an hour of youth ministry on the screen after they've been in school on the screen for a whole day is really challenging. And so our children and youth ministry folks have had to get very creative in terms of doing smaller segments spread out throughout the week instead of one long piece and just finding some creative ways to do it.
It seems like during this time as well, a time when we can't get together or we can't have that one-on-one FaceTime is the time, this time we've needed it the most. Churches are most needed right now because people are lonely. People are suffering. They're hurting, joblessness and fear and the loss of loved ones and friends from COVID. We're in this tough battle, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. We're fortunate we've got a part-time staff person who handles congregational care.
Yeah.
And so instead of going out in her car and visiting, she's done a lot of time on the phone.
Just, a lot of phone
work, having
yeah.
phone conversations yeah. with people. You know, I've been doing a lot of that yeah. too, and just hearing about, you know, how people are holding up, what they're going through. You know, one thing that I stumbled upon early in the pandemic was I had a sense that our people were really hungry for an opportunity just to be together.
Yeah.
You know, especially in that, you know, right after the thing happened and we were still figuring it out and people couldn't come to meetings, they couldn't come to classes, they couldn't come to worship. People kind of wanted to be together. And so one of the things that we did early on in the pandemic was four nights a week, I started leading a very short evening prayer service on Facebook Live. And it was just a 20, 25 minute service. We'd do a couple of scripture readings. We'd pray together. I'd tell some bad dad jokes and that was that. And I really discovered that our congregation really connected with that. Yeah. And so as things have gone on, once we started doing some reopening in the summertime, we trimmed that down from four nights a week to one, but we're still offering that on Thursday evenings. And I think there's a big chunk of people who just are really looking forward to that Thursday night opportunity, just to, even if it's through a computer screen, be together with 15 or 20 people from their church and just be together.
I'd like to back up a little bit and talk about you. Where are you from? Yeah. This area? Here?
Well, I grew up in Springfield.
Okay.
Springfield area. That's kind of my home, although, yeah. you know, my family's spread out. Nobody lives there anymore. But when I think of home, it's that area.
Yeah.
You know, the United Methodist Church operates under an appointment system. The bishop tells us where to go within a certain geographical region. I yeah. know that unless I decide to move somewhere else, I'm always going to be in the state of Illinois, but mm-hmm. I could end up pretty much anywhere in the southern four-fifths of the state of Illinois.
So. Yeah. Did you always want to be a pastor, get into the ministry?
You know, it was one of those things. I actually experienced a call to ministry pretty early on for folks in my career, felt that call to ministry in high school.
Yeah.
And so I'm one of those traditional ministry people who went straight from high school to college to seminary into ministry. So for whatever reason, ministry seems to be a second or third career for a lot of folks in this yeah. day and age. I'm one of those who went through the traditional cycle.
Okay. Where'd you go to school?
Yeah, this has been a sad season for my wife and I. We were both graduates of McMurray College in Jacksonville, Illinois, okay. which actually didn't survive the pandemic and closed its doors back yeah. in the day. So, I graduated McMurray College. That's where I met my wife, as I said. Mm. Went to seminary at Christian Theological Seminary in Indianapolis. Mm.
Yeah, just, big market there too. Big city over
that's right.
there coming
that's
from
right.
Springfield area and then Indianapolis. Oh, boy.
It was a big jump, but, you know, it's not quite like Chicago.
Yeah,
And actually, it's interesting. The seminary that I went to is right off of Butler University's campus. And there's a pretty good chance my son's going to end up there. So it's kind of interesting to reconnect with that phase of my life through him.
Absolutely. So you're just out of seminary and your first, did you get appointed to because the Methodist Church, as you said, is they appoint people. So
yeah, that's correct. My first church was a smaller church down in the St. Louis Metro East area in New Baden, Illinois.
Wow.
You know, so that was kind of nice as a Cardinal fan. I was in a small town of about 3,000, but I could be in Busch Stadium in 27 minutes.
Oh, so my gosh.
We took advantage of that quite a bit.
Yeah.
We spent 3.5 years there. From there, I was on staff at Springfield First United Methodist Church for 6.5 years and spent 6 years in Arcola, Illinois, right before I came here.
Oh, my gosh. So knowing that you're in the Methodist church in Illinois, knowing that you're going to get the chances of you getting sent somewhere, you knew that getting into it. Has that been a tough thing for you, or is it something that you look forward to? I've been a Methodist since I was, you know, well, all my life.
Sure.
So, yeah.
You know, it's kind of a fun adventure. There are parts of it that I've started to dislike a little bit. I don't like to physically pack boxes, move boxes, and unpack boxes. I'm finding I like that less and less every time we do it.
Yeah.
But the opportunity to meet new people, to explore new places – that can be fun. Every church that I've been at has had its own characteristics, you know, its mm-hmm. its own style of doing things, its own opportunities and challenges.
Yeah.
And so getting to know a group of people and a church and a community and really find ways to engage in ministry and in the life of those communities has been fun for me. You know, quite frankly, I enjoy Galesburg. I'm not looking to leave anytime soon.
Sure.
And would be happy to stay here for a while.
Yeah.
But it is a fun challenge sometimes to move to a new place and face a new set of challenges.
But it's part of being a Methodist minister, right? I mean, you have to be. Do they give you much notice?
Part of what we take on. You know, I knew going into it that was part of the commitment that I was making. So it didn't catch me by surprise.
That's
which
right.
is good. You know, the way things usually work is our bishop and district superintendents, who are kind of middle managers in our system, are the ones who make those appointments. And usually they're making those sometime in the January through April
gotcha.
Time frame is when you get those calls and you have those conversations. And mm-hmm. usually moving day for us is the 1st of July. So
you've
got at least a couple months ahead of notice ahead of time so you can kind of figure out where your kids are going to be going to school and have some time to pack.
Yeah.
You know, back in the day, they'd find out at our annual conference the first week in June that they were moving the 1st of July. And I can't imagine what that was like in that day and age.
Right.
But usually we have a little bit of time to adjust to it and get used to that idea.
Do you think this has been – do you think this is tough on kids? I mean, you've got kids. And has it been tough on them? Has it been – just this is my family. This is what we do.
You know, to some degree, it's what they've always known, you know, and you know, they've really flourished in every place that we've gone.
Yeah.
You know, when we came to Arcola or from Arcola to Galesburg, our twins were in going into eighth grade, which is an awkward time to move.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it was a little bit of a challenge when they first heard that news and first made that transition, but, you know, they could see some of the fun opportunities as well. And really, once they got into school and met people, they were fine and jumped right back into things. You know, it's been one of those things that for a parent, you can see the opportunities, you can see the positives and the upsides and the potentials. When you're actually the teenager who's having to move, it's a little harder for them to see that and experience that, you know, when they're in the middle of it.
We've been learning a little bit more about you, and you've been here again how long?
I've been in Galesburg about 5 years.
Okay.
Long enough to feel comfortable and feel like it's home in a lot of ways.
That's right. That's right. But just long enough to where are you starting to get nervous thinking that they might be looking at you to move to another?
You know, I try my best not to think about that. You know, I find that it's better in my own thinking to just assume I am where I am for the rest of my career.
That's right.
There's a good chance that may not be true, but I'm going to operate under that assumption and work and lead like it is.
That's right. So let's talk now about the church itself. You know, it's been here a long, long, long time. In fact, next year it's a big anniversary.
That's correct. Galesburg First United Methodist Church was founded in 1847, so we're coming up on our 175th anniversary, starting to think about what it looks like to celebrate one of those. We're hoping we'll be past the coronavirus pandemic and we'll actually be able to get people together for some celebrations when that comes around. The church has been where it is in the heart of Galesburg for almost 175 years now, and you know, hoping and praying that we'll be around for another 175.
Yeah. But still that same location, that same building, everything.
The current building, the current sanctuary was built in 1917.
Okay.
So the church has been in that more or less in the same location most of its history.
Sure.
The current sanctuary goes back quite a bit of that history, but it's not the original building.
Right.
You know, is old enough to have some historic features for good and for bad, and you know, has been well maintained, and we've done a few things to expand on the building over its time.
But sure.
Proudly in the heart of Galesburg.
Yeah, but a building that's been up since 1917, that takes some upkeep. It's a beautiful, beautiful church there.
It does take some...
But
some
special care.
Takes some special care, some special upkeep.
Yeah.
You know, obviously a building that old has its own quirks at times.
Boy.
And some of those challenges, but also, you know, offer some wonderful gifts in terms of some of the architectural features that You know, I've missed in other churches I've been a part of that haven't had that same kind of historic feel.
And the challenge of bringing the technology into this older, this building, you know, the internet and the video and all of that. It's the marriage of both of those things, the classic and the new, right?
It very much is a one of those things that you have to spend a lot of time thinking about. Yeah. How do we add the new tools that we think are important in terms of communicating the gospel without sacrificing the you know, classical nature of things that still do speak to many of us.
That's right.
And so, you know, it's one of those things that we really have to be very intentional about. Fortunately, we have a sanctuary that I think blends well when we do that.
Yeah.
We've been able to find ways to bring screens and projectors and even modern musical instruments into our sanctuary without losing the feel of a traditional sanctuary with an altar and stained glass and some of those features.
That's right. Pastor Vince Rohn is the pastor of First United Methodist Church here in downtown Galesburg. And we're going to talk about what you call the centerpiece of First United Methodist Church, your worship environment.
Absolutely.
That's really your strong. When I asked you, what is the strength of your church? And it's your worship.
It absolutely is. You know, I think a lot of churches would try to lead with that. But honestly, when I think about what our church does well, worship is the first thing that comes to mind. And I don't just say that as the person who preaches those services most of the time.
Right.
You know, we have a lot of talented musicians. We have a lot of wonderful musicians. Our music ministry is a centerpiece of our congregation, has been for at least a good chunk of its history.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a very strong choir. We've got a very strong traditional music program, even things like handbell choirs. But we also have a very strong contemporary music team that does a wonderful job of bringing in some of the more contemporary music offerings to that end of things. And so we've been able to really build a very strong worship music program. I enjoy preaching and like to think that it's a strong suit of our church. We also, you know, I'm a very visual learner, and so we use our screens both in live worship and now on online worship to bring in the visual arts and try to include that in our services as well.
Mm-hmm. I've heard pastors in the past consider themselves what kind of a pastor would you say you are? Are you, I've heard teaching pastors, I've heard conversational kind of thing. How would you describe your style?
I would first of all say I'm a preacher first.
Yeah.
You know, there are some preachers who really enjoy administration or care.
Yeah.
It's not that I don't enjoy that, but I would definitely say I'm a preacher first.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm probably a lean towards a classical style of preaching where we start from scripture. Mm-hmm. And start with learning what Scripture is teaching us and where it's pointing us to understand God in our own lives, and then move out to how we connect those eternal teachings of Scripture to our own lives today.
Yeah.
You know, I've always said, you know, I want to start in Scripture, but if there's not a so what to a sermon, we've missed the sermon. So I always want to make sure that there's a connection to our lives today and something that we're being encouraged to learn from Scripture and some place where we're being encouraged to then go.
Mm-hmm. Now, Pastor Vince Rohn is from First United Methodist Church here in Galesburg. You have a traditional service and a contemporary service. Is that something that you guys do?
That's what we do. We have a 9 o'clock traditional or 9 o'clock contemporary service.
Yes.
We start off with the contemporary at 9 o'clock and then have a 10:30 traditional service. That allows us to reach two very different segments of people in some ways. But also it's interesting to see the overlap. There are some folks who will see just travel in between worship services depending on what their weekend looks like.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, for me, it's a wonderful vision just to see that we don't have to be locked into one mode of worshiping God, that we have a whole wide variety of musical gifts that God has given us. We have a whole wide variety of resources within our church. And so we can worship in two very different styles that are both equally faithful and creative.
Absolutely. I've always felt that you have to reach people where they are. And I think having two different services in that way, traditional contemporary, is a positive thing. But I have heard that some churches struggle with that because suddenly you have two churches.
There is a lot of that feel, if you're not careful, where you have two very different congregations and they just happen to share a building at different points on Sunday morning. You know, we try to do some things to encourage folks to see it as one larger church that just happens to offer two worship times. You know, we have a coffee hour in between services, and we try our best to encourage people from both services to take advantage of that time so that they could have some informal gathering time, share a cup of coffee and talk about what's going on and really meet each other. You know, we're very intentional when it comes to creating committees to make sure that we're drawing from the entire life of our congregation when we staff committees and work teams. You know, we try to create opportunities for, you know, small groups and classes and those kind of things during the evening so that there is that sense of we're connecting with each other and not simply two groups who happen to use a building.
Correct. Now, so in the midst of, you know, COVID-19, are you now in-person worship again?
We are opening back up this weekend on January 31st for in-person worship. Obviously, from mid-March until the beginning of July, we were online only. When things started to open up in the community, we were able to reopen for in-person worship with you know, some social distancing and, you know, an encouragement of masks and those kind of things while you're in the building. And so we were hybrid, I guess you would say, from mid-July through the middle of November. When the numbers rose and we entered the tier system and some of those kind of things, we did shut back down and go back to online only. But now that we're moving back into phase four as a region of the state, we're going to be reopening for in-person worship, still offering the online worship services that probably now will always be part of our offerings. But we will have our doors open again on Sunday morning.
Well, that's wonderful. And masks are required, social distancing, you'll be...
Yeah, we do. Yeah. We've got about a half of our pews that are roped off so that we can create some distance in between people. We encourage family groups, obviously, to sit together, but to maintain some distance between family groups. Our experience back in the summer and fall was that we had 100% cooperation with masks, never had an issue with people having those on, and it really wasn't a concern. People, I think, were just glad to be together. And if that was how they had to do it, they were going to do that as long as they could be together in some way.
I want to get into some of your individual ministries. I wish we could touch on all of them today, but we want to highlight a few here. And I'll start out with your Grief Share group. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Absolutely. Grief Share is a ministry that we have hosted at least for the last 5 or 6 years in our church at First United Methodist Church. It's a program for people who have experienced a significant loss in their life. And we have a wonderful layperson in our church who experienced the loss of her own husband and really found this kind of group to be incredibly helpful in her own life and went on to found and lead this group. We offer it twice a year. We'll be starting up our next session on Wednesday, February 10th. There will be a morning offering at 9:30 every Wednesday morning, and then an evening group meeting at 5:30 on Wednesdays. People can contact our church office if they're interested in finding out more, but it's a wonderful place for people who have experienced the loss, both to learn some resources to help them through that time of loss, but also to gather with other people who have experienced a similar kind of loss and just connect with other people who are going through the same kind of thing.
How powerful, and especially, I mentioned this earlier, in everything going on in our world with COVID and people that have experienced loss because of this disease. Churches, this kind of thing is needed so much more now.
I absolutely think that's true. Yeah. We've been doing funerals in a lot of different ways and, you know, trying to make them as meaningful as possible. But I think people really still need that opportunity to connect with other people who understand what they're going through and can help them through that experience.
Absolutely. Pastor Vince Roan is from First United Methodist Church here in downtown Galesburg, our guest in this hour of Galesburg Live. You've been redeveloping your youth and children's ministries.
Yeah, we have. You know, at one point in time, we had a wonderfully traditional children's ministry wing, which meant cinder block classrooms that looked like something that was out of date when I was going through Sunday school myself.
Yeah.
And had really served the church very well for a certain time. Mm-hmm. But we recognized we were in a new time. And so a couple of years ago, we spent quite a bit of money and effort to renovate our children's ministry wing around a train theme. So we have trains running through our hallways and a train station where people can connect with that. We spent a lot of effort designing some murals that went into our classrooms just to make it an environment where kids can feel at home, where they can feel like, man, this is my space. You know, mm-hmm. this is for me. This is someplace I want to be. And not something my mom and dad plunked me down into.
That's right. But I heard this years ago. A pastor told me when families are coming to look at churches, they look at the bathrooms and the kids' ministry. the kids' ministries.
You know, I think that's probably true. You know,
yeah.
as a parent myself, I want my kids to be someplace where they can connect with God in their own way, where they can feel like they're valued, where they can feel like they can connect with other kids and connect with the God who made them.
Because if you don't, you're not going to keep those young families coming back.
That's right.
And if you can't get young families in, you're not going to grow or
I agree.
Maintain, right?
People talk about kids as the future of the church, but the reality is kids are really the present of the church. Because as an adult who has children, as a parent, if my kids aren't benefiting and growing and learning where we are, I'm not going to want to be a part of that because I want my kids to be able to experience the same God that I know.
Yeah.
And so we want to make sure that our church is an environment where kids and youth can connect with God and have a place. And because we know that if they do, then mom and dad will too.
That's right. Do you think that COVID has set us back in you know, because kids, you know, they maybe if they've been going to church and then suddenly we don't have to for a year.
I think that's
one of
the areas of ministry that at least our church has experienced some real struggles with.
Yeah.
You know, we think about kids as, you know, they're always on their phones. But I think kids really do, in this stage of the game, when they're going to school, almost all of them in Galesburg, at least, online right now.
Yes.
I think they have a lot of screen fatigue. And after being on a screen for 5, 6, 8 hours doing classes and homework, it actually is hard to get the kids back on a screen for an organized hour and a half of youth ministry time on Wednesday night.
Yeah.
And so our youth director has really had to find some creative ways to do, you know, shorter pieces throughout the week instead of one large week and event and just find some creative ways to do that.
I had mentioned that I grew up down in Maquon United Methodist Church was where I grew up. And some of my most treasured memories as a kid is spent in that church, in youth group, Sunday school, in church. I couldn't imagine. And besides, I also lived out in the country, so church was my escape.
Right.
Church was where I could see other people and be around other kids, and I couldn't imagine what these kids have had to go through.
I'm not sure even as a parent I understand what it's like. I've seen it secondhand, but I can't imagine what it actually feels like. Mm. And so that is one of the reasons why we're looking forward to being able to reopen this weekend.
Yeah.
You know, we're probably going to take a couple of weeks before we jump back into Sunday school and youth group as an in-person thing. Just make sure we do worship safely for a week or two before we jump back into children and youth ministry. But I think it is important to get them connecting with each other once again.
Absolutely. Pastor Vince Roan is from First United Methodist Church here in Galesburg. How about senior ministries? I had mentioned that to you. You have a group called Firsts.
Yeah, we have a group called the First Group at our church, and they do a lot of outings for the seniors in our church, you know, plan trips to plays, to riverboats, just to have opportunities for the seniors to be involved with each other and do some of that same connecting that we try to do with our youth and our children. You know, they haven't been able to do much, obviously, during COVID, and so I know they are looking forward to getting back into the swing of things and being able to offer some of those kind of programs, some of those opportunities to be together. Because whether you're 8 or 80,
that's right.
I think we're all feeling disconnected.
Well, you know, here with one of the big things that I've been reading about is the concerns about senior isolation in the midst of COVID. They're, you know, one of the most affected by this disease, so they've been stuck in their homes. And because they're maybe not as technologically savvy, they're kind of cut off from everybody, including their church.
I think that can be a danger. We've done a lot of phone calling as a church staff and
that,
other leaders in terms of connecting with folks over the phone. Some of our staff members and volunteers have also done some things like back Thanksgiving week. We had a few wonderful people who made Thanksgiving meals and then delivered them to anybody in our church who wanted them.
Wow.
And so, you know, if they were used to having a big family gathering and all of a sudden it was just one person, here was a meal that you could have.
Yeah.
But also an opportunity for somebody to come to your door and say hi, and we're going to leave the food right here, but you can at least see us through the door and we can have a little bit of a conversation. And and so some of those opportunities just to connect. We also stumbled at our church across a digital evening prayer service. You know, there are church traditions that do evening prayers, you know, services where you do a couple of scripture readings and then pray together. And we started doing that four nights a week early in the pandemic. We've kept it going as a weekly Thursday night offering at 6:30 on Facebook Live. And just that opportunity for people to be together, even if it's not physically together, I think has really been very meaningful, just to know that they're with each other and praying with each other during that time.
And anyone can be a part of that.
Oh, again, absolutely. Yeah. It's through Facebook. So I guess you have to have a Facebook account Facebook access, but it's just off, you know, Galesburg First United Methodist Church on Facebook. Every Thursday night at 6:30, we get together and we pray and read a couple of scriptures and we're just together for 20, 25 minutes. And it's just kind of that midweek recharge and connection that some people need.
Excellent. Well, we hope to have you back sometime. We can talk about some of your other ministries, and there's so many things that you do for our community here, and we appreciate that. And your entire, team, and you've got so many people involved to make all these things work.
Absolutely.
It's not just you. You're not the
goodness. I always tell people, if it was up to me, we'd all be in trouble. So
that's right.
Fortunately, we do have a wonderful church staff. We have a lot of wonderful volunteers who help do a whole variety of things around the life of the church, and it really does take a community.
That's right. And before we wrap up today, you are resuming in person tomorrow, in-person worship. Not tomorrow, this Sunday.
January 31st, we are back for in-person worship at both 9 and 10:30.
Yeah.
You know, we're at 120 North Kellogg Street, downtown Galesburg, and are looking forward to having people able to be back in the building. Of course, we'll continue to offer our online services. That's probably never going to go away now that we're doing them.
That's right.
But we are looking forward to the opportunity to be together physically for those who are ready to do that.
You need to have a mask. And do you have masks for people?
We do offer some disposable masks for people who don't bring one. And we do invite people to mask up. We do encourage social distancing through a variety of different ways. But we do look forward to being able to see each other face to face.
The only reason I ask that is because if you're like me, I'm walking into the grocery store and I get right up to the door and I reach for my pocket and I left my mask.
I think we've all had to go back to the car, and hopefully it's in the car and not all the way back at home, right?
That's right.
I think we've all been there.
Well, Vince, thank you so much for spending time with us to talk about First United Methodist Church and all the wonderful things you do. Your website, what's your website?
Our website is firstumcgalesburg.org, and has all of the information about our worship services and everything else.
Excellent. Well, I'm so glad you're able to get back into in-person worship, and we hope you come back and see us again soon.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.